Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I'm your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. Hello again, podcast listeners. Andrew here, and I'm very excited because today we're going to be having a conversation with Dr. Gary Davidson. He is a longtime friend of Growing Leaders and of Tim, and so we're really excited to have him a part of the podcast and talk about his long and illustrious career as an educator. Dr. Gary Davidson is a successful high school educator, administrator, and K-12 teacher, and in his 33 years of service to students, he's developed dozens of young teachers and leaders into now executive level positions within the field of education. In fact, his proteges are leading schools and school systems all over the country. Gary is going to talk today about the lessons he's learned and some of the innovative ideas he's implemented in his time at Lambert High School. He'll also be talking about a brand new book he's been working on that has just been released. I think you're really going to love this conversation. So without further ado, take it away, Tim.
Gary, it is so good to sit down with you. You and I have enjoyed a friendship for so many years.
Yes.
I've admired the way you've run your school. Andrew's already introduced you. 33 years in education, the last 17 leading a really high-achieving high school. I think that's safe to say, athletically, academically. But one thing I appreciate about you is you seem to have not lost your sense of balance, understanding parents, students, faculty, and staff. You've kind of seen it all. So can I just kick off this interview by asking the question, because you've been in education for decades and you witnessed lots of changes, what would you say are some of the biggest ones that you've seen that you might call they were game changers?
Well, thank you, Tim. I appreciate the kind words too. Being in education for so long, I think the greatest change that I've seen has been the overall role of each person in the education process. Hmm. Over 33 years, I remember that the teacher role when I first started was very much just an input.
Yeah.
You know, providing just standing, teaching, very lecture-based, that kind of thing. And that has morphed into very active learning, being very engaged, and really changing the dynamic of that. The student role has changed from very much a sit and get into, I've got to actually get up and do something now. And then the parent aspect has changed. And that's even changed even more recently since the pandemic. But it went from very much a... my kids are on the bus. They're yours now. I don't have to worry about them until the kids get home. But that has changed. That has changed greatly. And I've seen them becoming more involved. Involvement is great.
Yes.
Any school wants involved parents. Really do. It's when that line is crossed from involvement to over-involvement.
Intrusion, may I say?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think there are instances where intrusion can be very hard. And I think those are the biggest changes that I've seen. Curriculums come and go, strategies come and go, all of that. But really, the role of each person in education has changed greatly.
Yeah, I have seen the same thing. So let's talk about your most recent experience. 17 years at Lambert High School, just north of Atlanta. Yeah. Great experience. You've got to be proud. I know you're not a proud man, but you've got to be proud at what the students have pulled off, what your staff and faculty have pulled off under your leadership. So as a principal, I feel like you've led in a very creative way.
Thank you.
In fact, you did some things that I'd not heard of before. So I want you to invite our listeners into that journey. Share some of the ideas you implemented that led to significant progress for students, teachers, parents, and the community. Talk about how you started, what you did, and then take us on that journey.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you again for the kind words. But it's about solving different problems. And again, going back to that first question, roles have been changing, but I can't say that education as a whole has kept up with the changing roles. And so that's where a lot of schools have had some very difficult times in trying to really address the needs of learners, teachers even, and how we're going to do that. So I would say probably my most proud moment is when at Lambert High School, we implemented Lunch and Learn.
Yeah.
And Lunch and Learn basically is each student gets an hour for lunch. And within that hour of the day, they obviously have a chance to eat lunch.
Yeah.
But they have a chance to sit down with their friends, relax, digest their food, which is very important. But also we have different kinds of instructional supports, different kinds of instructional gains for them. They're able to sit down with their peers and have study groups and make up tests and all of these things that really takes time away from them outside of the classroom. We want to be able to put the time and the effort within the school day 100% on them growing as students. And so we started that process about 8 years ago. At the time, we started with about a 9% failure rate at midterm, which for a large high school is very average. It's very much the going average.
One out of 10 is having trouble.
Recently, we've done our statistics, and we were below 1% at midterm. And it's having that additional time in the middle of the day for students to get homework done, to study, for teachers to be able to have a chance within the day to remediate and help students achieve. When we, in the past, we always told kids, oh, come after school. Well, right now, teachers can't stay after school. And so students are kind of stuck.
They're running to football practice or
something
like that.
So we felt including it within the day would keep it very balanced for them and really prioritize that time for them.
Can I just volley back and say, I'm so proud of you for doing this. As I've described your work in other places in the country, I've said, Learn to Learn for Gary's School is a time to catch up, keep up, make up, or rest up.
Wonderful.
Would that be fair?
Absolutely.
Some are doing fine.
Yes.
They're petting a dog, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And but some are catching up because they're behind. Some are making up a test. But this just helps calibrate and obviously change grades.
It has.
Change mental health for the better.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, that's accurate, isn't it?
At 100%. Yes.
This is what we've got to do. I just wish I could take your brain and throw it around the country, but that wouldn't be a pretty sight, would it?
There we go. There
so
we go.
Anyway, I love that. Now, when you began Lambert, you even said, before we start this school, I want to get buy-in and weigh-in from the community. Would you mind telling that story real quick?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I came from a neighboring high school at the time, and I was asked to open Lambert High School. At the time, we were bringing students from another school over. And so I had been in that community for a number of years. So they knew me and I knew them. And starting this new school, we wanted to start it and start it not only on a good foot, but we wanted to really address what great high schools around the country have done.
Good.
What made them great? And so we did a lot of research on that. And about a year before we opened, I put together a committee of current high school students. Now, current at that time would not be our high school students coming into our school. So we would have some younger students who eventually would be there, neighboring faculty, and the community members. We all got together and we actually put together a strategic plan for the school that wasn't even built yet. And our goal was, what would the Lambert graduate look like? What would those characteristics be? Then we took that as an entire faculty and built our practices around it. And I really feel like that involvement has helped us to be very, very good in a lot of areas. It's that commitment. And to go back to the first questions, what's one of the biggest things I've seen that has changed? It seems that it's harder and harder to get students, staff, and parents to believe in something bigger than themselves. And that's what we focused in on at the very beginning. And that has maintained for us. And that has been a game changer. It truly has. So it's that idea.
Well, good leaders know the principle. I just mentioned it briefly. If you let people weigh in, they're more apt to buy in. And it sounds like you got that from the school mascot to the colors to all of that. And it wasn't just Gary dictating.
No.
It was Gary listening and then saying, all right, I'm going to run point on this, but you all said this. And look what's happened. How cool is that? I love it.
It's been wonderful. Our many of our, like you said, all of our pieces are from students. So I can go through the logo. I can go through all of the different, the school song, the alma maters, and all the other things. All are different students' contributions. And so it's very neat to see them grown up with their own families now and say, thank you so much for writing the alma mater for our school. We sing it every year. And so it's been great to have their involvement.
I love it.
Yes.
So you've had some really cool success stories from students. Would you mind just encouraging our listeners? What are some success stories from students there, past and present?
Yes, I awful lot of them. We've had so many great kids. Just like other principals will have those themselves. I remember back to our first year, we had a young lady who had historically always been in private school. Mm-hmm. She was stricken with brain cancer. Mm. And through that process of her healing and such, they literally had to go in and take out a large portion of her brain.
Oh.
And so she was starting high school with us when we first opened. And as you can imagine, there were lots of needs that she had. She was new to our school community, a relatively brand new school community. I was so proud that the school came together to support her. They named her homecoming queen the first year.
Oh my gosh.
Very few people knew her.
Yeah.
They just knew her struggle. And those kinds of things set the culture for the building moving forward to say, you know what? It doesn't. You don't have to be the star quarterback to be a star in our school. And that has carried through to today. Our special needs students, who are probably our most high-profile students in the school, they get high fives when they walk down the hall. The Red Seas part when they walk down, and it's really neat to see. And it also helps that they, our special needs students, they actually work and govern our therapy dog program.
Oh, wow.
And so when the other students come up and want to interact with the therapy dogs, they have to ask one of our special needs kids, is it okay if I pet your dog? And so they lead them in that. So really flipping it over, instead of taking someone who's used to being in a follower position and letting them be in a leadership position.
They own something.
They own something. And so it's been really great to see. I could go on forever about student stories. We just have so many great things happening.
Yeah, you really do. And I think I'm your biggest fan. Outside your wife, I'm your biggest fan. So that's neat. Now, Gary, more recently, you and I were just doing a parent event. And you expressed to me, number one, your love of parents. You want engaged parents. If you had a choice between disengage or engage, you choose engage.
Absolutely.
But I think some of them have been this is my opinion, over-functioning because they love their kids so much. I don't know if they realize when they've crossed a line.
Correct.
I want you to talk about your passion and even concern about today's parents. Just talk about that. I'm giving you permission to whine a little bit.
Go ahead. Won't use any names. How about
That's right. Okay. That's good.
I'm most concerned because what I used to see in parents was if they started out as assertive, they have now become aggressive.
Yeah.
And so it's been very hard for any educator that needs to have the skills to take someone who's aggressive and walk them down to assertive, then walk them down to upset, and then back to just a regulated position. I'm worried about that.
Yeah.
I'm worried about the changing dynamic with students and parents not feeling equipped.
Yeah.
Much of the conversations that I have felt with parents has either been one of two things. One, the parent wants to do everything for them because they want the benefit that they get out of it. It's no longer, you know, my son will earn something. It's I've earned it. And my son gets to enjoy the trophy once in a while, but I really am the one that won it. The other one is that they don't know how to go in and have a civil conversation with a teacher. And it's as if they're looking at the teachers as being the only government official that they have access to and can speak to.
Yeah.
And so they take all their frustrations with what's going on in the world today out on that lowly teacher.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel so badly for them because they're getting grief that was never intended for
them. That's right.
Yeah. And the parent doesn't, I don't think that they recognize that they do that all the time.
Yeah.
So oftentimes I'll come in and help teachers understand that it's okay to say, what are we really upset about today? Let's get down to what is the issue at play? And then let them vent a little bit, but then come back to what has made you so upset? How can I help you now in that regard?
Well, Gary, again, when you and I have talked off the record, we both agreed that the helicopter parents become the Apache helicopter sometimes without even knowing.
Correct.
But I think very often as a fellow, you and I are both parents, we feel like so much is out of our control. We tend to want to control maybe people that we can't. That faculty member doesn't have unilateral authority to change the school if it needs to be changed. So there they are. It's almost like the clerk at the fast food restaurant. I can't change this restaurant, but you know. So you've got to somehow advocate for your staff and faculty, which you do so well.
And that's becoming a larger portion of principals' worlds than it used to be. The running of the school has almost taken a back seat into helping teachers stay fortified enough to deal with all of the different challenges that are coming, and then to play the front line when it comes to parents coming in. I don't blame parents for it. I really don't. I think they're confused. More often than not, they all want the very best for their child. And I respect that. But it's really helping them to understand that there's a different way to go about it. I really do feel that there's been a, that one of the changes I've seen has been that parents used to view process as important. They now look at outcome as more important than process.
However you got there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's scary.
Absolutely, it is.
In fact, if you don't mind, I'll volley back on that. We all want good outcomes, of course.
Of course.
But you're right. I think in our nation, even beyond education, we just, once we get the goal, whatever I got to do, whether it's artificial intelligence and the machine will write the paper for me or whatever, and it is a bit scary, especially if the adults, the caring adults, have fostered that mindset in kids.
Absolutely.
They watch their mom and dad going, whatever you got to do to get to the goal, even if it's cheating. And nobody would admit that, but I feel like that's, we're vulnerable to that.
Well, I'm starting to see the admission happening more and more, almost to the point of some people being proud of it. We had a parent here recently who student was taking a math test, and the student was using his Apple Watch to send problems home so that his mom could work them and then send him the answers. Of course, the teacher's walking around, sees what's going on, talks to the child, talks to the parent. And unfortunately, the child didn't do very well on the test. And so the parent, the teacher offered to tutor the parent and actually called the parent and said, hey, I noticed Johnny was struggling. I noticed that you were communicating with him. You didn't seem to quite understand the content. Can I help you with the content?
Wow.
And that was a very sophisticated way, I thought, that the, that the teacher approached it instead of just calling and saying what you did was bad. They called and said, I can help you too.
Let's collaborate.
Let's collaborate on this and let me help your child.
Yeah.
And so it was very interesting to be able to have some of these instances.
Well, I love that approach. I have more than once walked into a Starbucks and seen parents doing the homework for their child. They're well-intentioned. They think this is going to take some of the relief off my stressed out child.
Absolutely.
But in the end, that's a short game, not a long game.
It's a long, you're right. You're right.
It's 100%. It's scary. So you and your wife have your own parenting lessons. I did a parent event with you and was honored to be with you and your parents. But would you talk about how your shift happened in your own parenting role?
Yes.
Would you mind?
Yes, absolutely. My wife and I, we had two children and my son passed away. And that brought a dynamic to us. It was very difficult, of course. So I currently have an 18-year-old daughter. And when she was very young, she was 2 years old when my son passed away. And we found ourselves becoming more than the helicopter parent back then. It was 16 years ago. And so I literally would walk around behind my daughter with a pillow, worried that she was going to fall on the wooden floor and break her head open and, and all the things. And it wasn't until I read a certain book about parenting mistakes that helped me to realize I'm not doing her any favors. And she fell once. She survived it. But then I went and I actually showed her, okay, here's how not to fall down. Let's try and see if you can do this. She did it on her own and she's doing so well.
Isn't that cool?
But it wasn't. I was a high school principal at the time and I was doing it wrong. And it took an external person to show me, okay, this isn't working. And so for her to be better, for me to help her become a great adult, I needed to let her go through some struggle.
Even as a child.
Struggle is the four-letter word today.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it is that way. And I wish more people would be open to that word.
I remember a hallway conversation you and I had walking out of your building, and you said, grit isn't grown overnight. You don't grow grit quick.
Yes.
And I thought, that is so true, you know?
That's it.
But we like things quick. We want it to quick click. So,
absolutely.
My gosh.
Absolutely.
Crazy. So Gary, tell me what you hope to accomplish in your new ventures ahead. You are retiring from Lambert this year.
Yes.
I have mixed emotions about that, but I know you're one of multiply. Talk about your future.
Yes. I've been at Lambert for a long time.
Yeah.
I've been the only principal there for now for 15 years. Very proud of the school. I think it's wonderful. I think this is an opportunity for them to go to the next level. And so I'm very proud to see what happens with them next. I've been very proud over my career to grow leaders and to really pour into staff and really help them become a much more effective and fulfilled leader.
Yeah.
So I've done that. I've taken the things that I've done over the years, and I started to put that into a project.
Good.
And so now I'm going to be consulting with principals
Good.
And school leaders in the future to help them be more effective. And by being more effective, they're going to be more fulfilled in their work.
Excellent.
And I see a lot of leaders right now that feel like they're not making a difference.
Yeah.
They are,
yeah.
but they don't feel like no. it. And I want to yeah. try and help them realize you are making a difference. Let's help you be more effective, but also at the same time, let's help you understand that you're changing people's lives.
Yeah.
It's frustrating and it's hard today, but you're doing good work.
Yeah.
Let's help you realize that.
Well, we do miss that, don't we?
Yes.
In the day-to-day grind. Yeah,
absolutely.
So listeners, we're going to put that in the show notes so you okay. can look at our notes to see what Gary's up to and so forth. Gary, last question.
Yes.
Do you have any last words of wisdom? Our listeners are mm-hmm. often parents. They're mm-hmm. certainly often educators and
yes.
school leaders,
mm-hmm.
coaches.
Yes.
Give us one last word before we sign off.
My last word to the students is to don't give up.
Mm.
Don't try something once
okay.
and then give up.
Yeah.
Give yourself five chances. Mm. Five chances. You've got five fingers on a hand. Yeah. Try and do it five times. And then after that, if you can't do it, then you have to look for something else.
Yeah.
And some other structure support.
Yes. Yeah.
For educators, keep going. Mm. It will get better.
Yeah.
It will get better.
I do too.
Keep your love for kids. Keep your love for instruction and keep it moving forward. It will get better. And for parents, let your children fail.
Yeah.
Let them struggle. When we say fail, it's not fatal.
Right.
That's not what I'm talking
yeah.
about. What I'm talking about is let them experience struggle. Let them get the benefit mm-hmm. out of it. Don't steal their dopamine hit
yes.
when they succeed. Let them enjoy it
yeah.
because they've earned it. That dopamine hit will lead them to their next success. Let them have it. It's their high school experience, mm-hmm. not yours.
Gary, you always bring wisdom. Thanks for sitting down and talking today.
Thank you, rich. Tim. I really appreciate it.
You bet.
What an incredible conversation from Tim and Dr. Gary Davidson. We cannot thank you enough, Dr. Davidson, for joining us on the podcast and sharing so many of the amazing things you've accomplished, as well as the innovative ideas you all have been practicing. Well, he mentioned it very quickly, but I want to tell you about this new resource from Dr. Gary Davidson. He's just written a book called Even Great Leaders Need Coaches. And I highly encourage you to pick this up. He's going to be talking about the importance of bringing in coaches into your life to help develop you, frankly, no matter what stage of your leadership you're in. So you're not going to want to miss that resource. Check the show notes to get a link to where you can pick up that book. It's called Even Great Leaders Need Coaches. Well, as always, if you would rate this podcast, give us 5 stars on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, we would greatly appreciate it. If you found this particularly helpful, we would encourage you to share it with somebody else who you think might enjoy it too, whether that's a colleague or a spouse or whomever, we would also appreciate that. If you want to connect with us online, we are at Growing Leaders and at Tim Elmore, pretty much everywhere you are. And then finally, if you have ideas for this podcast, whether it's other people you think we should interview like Dr. Davidson, or maybe an idea for something you think we should cover on the podcast, we would love for you to send us an email. It's podcast@growingleaders.com. We love getting those. Well, thank you again, Dr. Davidson, for joining us today. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time.